Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Sandhya, the moderator for this conference. Welcome to the NIIT Limited conference call hosted by IDFC Asset Care Securities. For the duration of the presentation, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. I will be standing by for the question and answer session. Now, I would like to hand over to Mr. Nikhil Vora. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Anil. It's a pleasure to welcome you all for the Q2 FY10 earnings conference call of NIIT. We have with us the senior management team of NIIT led by Mr. Vijay Thadani, our CEO. I'll hand it over to Mr. Vijay Thadani for making the initial remarks and also the way forward in what apparently appears to be a start of an interesting period for NIIT. Over to you, Mr. Thadani.
Thank you, Nikhil. Thank you, everybody, for being here on the call. We are discussing the quarter two financial results. I'll just, as usual, get into the environment and then get on to the financials, deeper into each business, and then talk a little bit about going forward. So, in terms of environment, and before that, I have with me the usual suspects we have in our management team, Mr. Rajendra Singh Pawar, who's our chairman, P. Rajendran, Ashish Basu, G. Raghavan, and Vijay Kumar and Kapil Saurabh, and of course Jitendra Mahadev. So we start with the environment. Last quarter was an interesting quarter characterized by what I call green shoots optimism. There was a lot of discussion on green shoots, optimism in conversation, but in terms of realization on ground, I think we still saw the sentiment returning but not converting enough into business, but the positive traction was definitely visible. Hiring in IT and BFSI sectors continued to be low, though our own placements were in this 6-month period have grown fairly robustly, 45%. State government decisions were delayed. There was before election, after election, a number of things. Consumer sentiment has improved, but delays in decision was still seen. Cost conservation by corporates continued. And in the government scenario, while we have a stable government, we have a 6.5% plus projected GDP growth, every day a new announcement on education and skills policy, but on the other hand, these are punctuated by H1N1, our Bombay centers were closed for 9 days, Pune centers were closed for 20 days during the quarter, drought, floods, and state elections, which were some other distractions. Overall, going forward, the general consensus seems to be that work is over. Robust labor market forecast of net employment outlook to be bright as 34%, up 11% QOQ. IT spending world over to increase by 3.3%. I think this is quite significant. Interest back in IT, you could see new product announcements in recent times. IT, ITS sector majors and banks, insurance companies announcing definitive hiring plans. I think every day's newspaper talks of how the hiring season is picking up. These people were very positive signs. So overall, on one hand, we had India and the developing economies investing in education skills, both at an individual and government level. On the other hand, US and Europe corporates struggling to manage the economic downturn. Some of the indicators coming in positive, but I think overall mood continue to remain negative as far as that is concerned. In terms of its impact on us and financial highlights, consolidated system-wide revenues up 19% year-on-year to $5.5 billion. Net revenues up 16% at $3.6 billion. EBITDA is nearly half a billion rupees, up 22% year-on-year. EBITDA margin has improved at 67 basis points year-on-year and 283 basis points sequentially. Net profit, on the other hand, was down compared to last year, lower associate profit, and some impact of one-time adjustments last year, which were not visible this year, but $262 million net profit. I think the key drivers which drove the revenue growth was aggressive actions in India and emerging economies, which we will talk about. While US and Europe face challenges, that's what contributed to the revenue growth. Market share gains in focus segments, higher execution efficiency, as well as very aggressive cost management led to higher than revenue growth, growth in operating profits, which is 22% year-on-year improvement in EBITDA. One important milestone, I think, which we achieved is successful implementation of 3,500 schools in 6 months, the highest ever. It demonstrated our capability in education excellence, but also was visible in our revenue growth. Most of that was large amount of hardware and software which got implemented. It's low margin, but it led to a very large top line growth of 175% year on year in school learning solutions. Getting into some more details, ILS, Individual Learning Solutions, net revenue was up 7% year on year to 1.3311 billion rupees. EBITDA margin improved, as we had talked about, 149 basis points year on year. Now, 7% revenue growth is at the back of a flat quarter last year. So you can see that the consumer sentiment recovery is visible in these numbers. Corporate Learning Solutions was flat quarter on quarter, but EBITDA margin had improved 492 basis points year on year. So there are focuses to swim with the current and see what is selling into learning products. We had an impressive growth there, we'll talk more about it, and an order intake of $31 million in Corporate Learning Solutions. School Learning Solutions, also the EBITDA grew by 76%. On the other hand, the operating margin overall was low. We'll discuss how and what contributed. In Individual Learning Solutions, enrollment grew 8%. And in these 8% growth, behind that is 15% growth in the engineer segment. So obviously, definitive interest in engineers, as one would imagine, as their courses are getting over, they have to be ready for the job season next year. 43% growth in infrastructure management services, enrollment, once again, easily seen because of the outsourcing trends in this area. Our placements continue to be very robust, taking the CYD growth to 45%. I already talked about the government schools business, but in private schools, we added 82 private schools. eGuru Interactive Class Solutions is being received well in the market, as is visible. We also had a teacher training business, which we have talked about for a while. We saw a step growth in that in terms of new orders for 25,000 plus teachers to be trained. Corporate Learning Solutions, order intake was at the same level as last quarter. Revenue was at the same level as last quarter, but learning products grew faster. And continuing benefit of cost actions helped us achieve a much higher degree of profitability. This was also a quarter where we received a large number of awards and recognitions. They are available on the website if you would like to have a look at them. Enough to say, we have, ever since the inception of the Best IT Training Company in the Country award, we have been recipient by Best in the Largest award. We've been the recipient of that, and as expected, received the same award this year. What is also heartening to note is we also received most respected IT or Best IT Training Institution in China this year. We got a gold for ICT education in Vietnam, and some other acknowledgments in the United States as well. All this, I would say, contributes to the overall acceptance of NIIT brand in the marketplace. Talking a little bit about revenues, 16%, while we had a 16% growth in revenues, there was a small impact of forex hedging, 7 million rupees, not very significant, worth mentioning. EBITDA grew 22% on the basis of strong cost management. Employee numbers were lower by about 15 this quarter, kind of stabilizing at or had stabilized or bottomed out at that level. We had higher depreciation because of higher government projects. And the other income actually had the 99 million rupees swing, which is what I talked about, one-time benefits which we had got last year, which we don't have this year. So overall, impact of this on bottom line was 262 million of profit after tax versus 297 million the previous year. In terms of what contributed to the revenue growth, Individual Learning Solutions caused increase the revenue by 17% year on year. Schools contributed 175% growth. On the other hand, corporates were minus 7% year-on-year. This is what contributed to system-wide revenue, 19%. Individual retained is 60% odd. The important question is, schools have improved their share in the overall revenue from 7% to 16%. In profitability as well, EBITDA growth was contributed by highest by corporate, 148% growth, school 76%, and individual withdrawal business at 13%. So now in the overall profit, corporate contribute 21% of the profit of this EBITDA compared to 11% last year's same quarter. School contributes 16% compared to 11% last year. Individual is approximately the same level, though slightly lower in 77% to 71% as a part of the total. As you can see, that while US and Europe were grappling with the economic recession, we increased our focus on other geographies. And the rest of the world, which is Nigeria, Vietnam, China, Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia, and many other countries, that growth in system-wide revenues was 46% compared to last year. India grew 23%, while US and Europe had a negative growth. So you could see that our strategy was that if your markets are not performing well, instead of putting too much time on them, focus on markets which are performing well and for the benefit of that strategy. Moving on to a level of detail for individual IT business, software, system-wide revenue, our geography mix was 54% from India, 27% from rest of the world, and 18% from China. We did see 149 basis points improvement in EBITDA margin, and I already mentioned to you that the net revenue grew by 7%, system-wide by 17%. Our revenue capacity utilization was constant, same level last year, 67%, improved 11% QOQ though. The infrastructure management track in GNIIT, diploma in finance and accounts, and ERP training for small and medium businesses, these are some new product offerings which we launched, which did help us. The other, the public-private partnership models in China, they have been received well, and we launched two new centers, Chengdu and Dalian, in China. An interesting project in South Africa, we've been talking about Africa of late quite often. This is a very interesting project for IT and BPO training in a province called, in a place called KwaZulu Natal, which has where we have to train 10,000 people to get them ready for employment. Our responses in Nigeria, Vietnam were very good. The scholarship exam which we do in Nigeria had nearly 100% growth in applicants, and we had to conduct the exam in a football stadium. In school learning solutions, I think the more important part which we need to understand is that the peaking which you see, the revenue peak or spike which you see, is more out of completion of a large government contract which we had received in the earlier part of the year. And I think the milestone that we have completed is to do with installation of hardware and software. It's a low margin part of the contract which is being executed. And now, of course, we will receive the benefit of this over the next 5 years, but that caused the peak in revenue. This revenue did not come with any margin, so therefore, to that extent, our overall margin looks muted, though in overall operating profit terms and other products, our margin has been better. eGuru Interactive Classroom Solutions acceptance contributed to 82 schools, and another issue is they had multiple new vendors which are at this point are time active. The decision making has been slow last quarter because of a number of reasons, including the state elections. We do think that many of those will now start materializing. In any case, our hands were full last quarter trying to do, in our history at least, the largest implementation ever. In corporate learning solutions, overall, the most satisfying part was 492 basis points improvement in operating margin, which led to a margin of 106 million rupees compared to 43 million last year. Even though we had a quarter-on-quarter flat, a negative year-on-year, minus 7%, the silver lining in that was online learning products grew 16% year-on-year, and this is one of the focus areas that we have been talking about. There are significant competitive takeaways And that, by the way, is an important trend in the corporate learning marketplace that people are subscribing. Even Indian corporates are now beginning to subscribe for large e-learning libraries, and e-learning is becoming an order of the day. Order intake was flat quarter on quarter at $31 million. Spending order book at $83 million, 57% executable in the next 12 months. Overall, cost management initiatives as well as product mix contributed to the improved EBITDA margin. In new businesses, on one hand, IFBI continues to face challenge. The finance banking and insurance training continue to face challenge because of recruitment fees in banks. But they reinvented themselves with some new career products which had begun to start doing well. However, the good news is that in the last few days, the banking sector recruitment has opened up. We have requirements from large banks and some of our large customers and partners earlier coming back in large quantities, and therefore, as expected, though a little delayed, quarter three onwards, we do see a massive upswing in enrollment in IFBI. BPO enrollments have also picked up, though not to the same level that one would have expected, and I think we still see a weak quarter ahead of us before we see an upswing in BPO. Management programs, again, NIT Imperia, the enrollment growth has begun to happen, and we do see pickup happening as the economy recovers. In terms of cost control and cash conservation, we continued with our cost control and cash conservation exercise. We've been monitoring this. We have a saving of 2% in specific fixed costs quarter on quarter and 19% year on year. Our increased focus on IT-led growth strategy has yielded us another 200 basis points improvement in the percentage of revenue coming out of IT-led growth. This quarter, or for the 6 months so far, we are at our revenues, 42% of our revenues are coming from IT-led revenue, which also is a contributor to improved profitability. In terms of balance sheet, there were two or three things which happened. One, large implementation of government projects have created a slight increase in receivables, though in overall DSO days we are at 92 compared to 91 in June. Second, we did fix some extension loans with some cheaper loans, and overall our total debt has increased to 4.17 billion rupees compared to 3.8 last quarter, but so has the cash position from 673 million to 815 million. Return on capital employed on year-on-year basis is improved by 729 basis points from 5.6 to 12.9%, primarily contributed by individual learning solutions profitability. We added fixed assets for 303 million, which is essentially for new products and projects in line with what we had mentioned. Overall, this count. While in the first part, in the first last few quarters, we saw the headcount reduction to be at the level of nearly 200. In the previous quarter, we saw it at about 127. This quarter, it is at minus 15. We think we have now, at this point of time, bottomed out on headcount, and perhaps as we go forward and implement new products and projects, we will see an increase in headcount going forward. In terms of overall outlook, while in individual business we continue to face the wait and watch approach of consumers, despite larger amount of inquiries, it is important for us to keep making sure that we offer the right set of products, and therefore continued growth in infrastructure management enrollment space, we think, will be an order of the day as we continue. We will enter into higher end training opportunity space with ERP training. We offered ERP for small and medium businesses. We extend that as we go forward to the larger organizations. We recently announced a partnership with IBM for introducing software curriculum in career courses, and we will see a margin expansion due to growth in revenue as well as cost control. We are back on a growth track. We did have a flat quarter Q1. We saw a positive quarter Q2. We see an acceleration as we go forward. In schools, the growth in government business will continue to remain strong. We have a strong order book. In addition to that, we have a large number of tenders where we are comfortably placed. In addition to that, we also see a strong growth in private schools because of an improved offering and larger focus on sales and marketing. So we do see that school business will follow the direction as projected earlier. In corporate market space, we do see that US and Europe, the going forward environment, while will be better than previous quarters, will continue to remain weak as we see, and the weakness may continue for some more time. So our focus will be on making sure that we remain more profitable than before to make up for any shortfall that we may have on account of revenue. In new businesses, we expect to recover in this quarter with the bank hiring as private banks and insurance companies hiring coming back, as well as the improvement that we see overall in the management training and BPO spaces. So if I was to summarize, in individual segment, improving sentiment, and we expect growth and acceleration as we go forward. In schools, strong foundation of execution excellence and scale will make sure that our business will grow. Our growth, of course, will be a function on decision making by governments on one hand, and our ability to reach the number of private schools that we want to reach on the other. In corporate, I think the growth in profit will make up for, as I said, any loss of profit because of growth or lack of growth in revenue. And we, to that extent, remain positive as far as our achievement of profit numbers that we were looking at. In international geographies, we expect them to remain weak. We have to see that the discussion on positive sentiment converts into reality. We do think it should happen, but we are unable to say at this point of time. So we will make sure that we do not create an overexposure there. We expect forex volatility to continue. In recent times, rupee has appreciated fairly substantially, and we would like to make sure that we are covered to an extent, look after all this volatility. The last thing that I wanted to talk about was the changes in the environment, most more to do with policies of Indian government and the announcement on skills development and education have created opportunities for us to get into some of these businesses at a faster pace than before. While for our normal business expansion, we are well looked after in terms of our own internal cash flow generation, going forward, today in the board meeting, the Board of Financial Estate has approved raising of rupees 230 crores or 2.3 billion rupees by way of qualified institutional placement of equity and or other instruments convertible into equity, consisting of 2 billion rupees in QIP and convertible warrants promoters of up to rupees 0.3 or 300 million rupees. As I mentioned, our existing business are self-sufficient and their expansion need would primarily be met from internal generation. This proposed funding is to strengthen IIT's balance sheet on one hand, augment our long-term resources for growth requirements of the various emerging opportunities in the education and training sector. I'm sure there will be more questions on this, so I will stop here and open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the Q&A interactive session. Participants connected to India Bridge who wish to ask questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Participants connected to International Bridge who wish to ask questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. On pressing star 1 and 01, participants will get a chance to present their questions on a first-in-line basis. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. To ask a question, please press star 1 and 01 now. First in line, we have Mr. Sunil Tirumalai from Credit Suisse. Over to you, sir.
Hi, thank you very much. Sir, I had a couple of questions. Firstly, on the I didn't catch the your comment on your outlook for the individual learning solutions business. Do you still hold on to the 10% YOY growth, which seems like a tough task now? And again, within the segment, I think a lot of growth has come from outside of India. So a bit of color on what's happening there would be helpful. And secondly, on the school learning solutions, the incremental revenues from on a QOQ basis has come at very little margins of around 2%. Is that the profitability on the hardware sale in the Gujarat contract? I just wanted to color on that.
Okay. So let me, on your individual learning solutions question, let Raghu answer that question, please.
Okay, thanks for the question. During the quarter, we grew 7% on net terms and 17% on gross revenue terms. This was, as you correctly said, driven largely by growth in international markets, which are gaining a certain degree of stability and consistency on their own, which is not to be ignored in the larger context. In terms of enrollment, again, the 7% is to be viewed in light of the 0% which we posted last quarter. And the 7% is, remember, that it's a growth over a fairly large quarter last year at the time. You might remember that the last year Q2 was one of the last few quarters of a very successful period of time where we had grown 26% at the time before we, on a year-over-year basis. So we're talking about a growth on a very large quarter, 7%. And enrollment growth has been underpinning this growth of 8%. And if you look at the sentiments that we are observing, we are recognizing an increased activity in terms of inquiries. Although, like Vijay alluded to, the conversion of inquiries into actual enrollment is continuing to take a little long time. But the fact that on the ground level we have a larger inquiry set to draw enrollment from augurs well for the growth. So your specific question about the annual forecast of 10%, we would like to hold the guidance at this point of time, and this is underpinned by the larger inquiry, fairly consistent, stable revenue streams in the international market, and a 15% growth in the engineers' volumes, 43% growth in the infrastructure management services area. That is, as you may recollect, a declared focus area for us, and we are doing pretty well in that. And when the career programs growth starts coming back, with the sentiments returning and future decision making, we think they will all help to hold our guidance.
Okay, and in responding to the second part of your question, yes, indeed, that spike that you saw in revenue is indeed out of achieving a milestone of completing the hardware installation of large government orders. As I mentioned to you, in last 6 months, we executed nearly 3,500 schools. And when you complete this stage at this point of time, the margin is actually nil in this particular case from the revenue recognition mechanism.
So what would be the margins for the rest of the contract?
Typically, over the period of the contract, we look for EBIT margins of in excess of 15%. In this particular case, as you know, given the structure of the contract, the expense has also been booked in the P&L above the line. The expense of the hardware has also been booked, which in a boot contract normally is booked as a depreciation below the line.
Yeah, I understand that. I'll come back for further questions later. So thank you.
Thank you
very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Deepin Shah from Kotak Securities. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, we are just taking over from the previous question. How much of would be the hardware component in the SLS business last quarter?
I would say about little more than half. In, yeah, because that's the peak implementation.
Okay.
It's I would say 56 million rupees. Is that correct? Oh, 560 million rupees. Yeah.
Okay.
We completed. Yeah.
Okay. And the other part was, can you just have the breakup of the other income into interest and rest?
Okay. So if you look at other income, in this quarter, interest on deposit and loans was 15.6.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you the major component. And interest paid on loans and financial charges was 91.3, so net interest was 75.7, and so that is what made the net other income to 78.4 total.
Okay.
In contrast to that, last year,
mm-hmm.
The net interest income was 60.2.
Mm-hmm.
But as I mentioned, we had a non-operating income of 95 million rupees last year, same quarter, which was a one-time, mm-hmm. which we do not have this year.
Okay. And maybe could you throw some more light on the corporate learning business as to what's the outlook and whether you can expect maybe a flattish kind of a trend going ahead, or are you seeing any improvement maybe for the next half year and the next year?
Okay, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, since though we always measure year-on-year, but on quarter-on-quarter basis for corporate learning solutions, you saw a flat trend this year.
Yes.
I'll ask Ashish to respond to this.
Yeah, okay, hi. So, I think just in terms, I mean, of course, the largest exposure in the corporate business is to the U.S. market.
Mm-hmm.
We are as yet not seeing any positive trends in the U.S. market. I think strategically we did a couple of things the last year. One of them is we are determined to protect our margins, which we have, I think, successfully achieved over the last three quarters, and that trend will continue.
Mm-hmm.
So we are expecting to beat our margin commitment for the year in absolute terms.
Mm-hmm.
However, as far as the top line is concerned, it remains choppy.
Mm-hmm.
The two or three areas that we are pursuing which are working well, one of them is the learning product business, where there has been growth this quarter,
mm-hmm.
and we expect that to continue to show improvement going forward.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the rest of it is concerned, we are not absolutely sure how the market will play itself out, but we are not seeing any significant improvement. Having said that, in India, we do find that there is a little bit of positive enthusiasm on government-based projects, so there will be a little bit of an impact, but as you know, government is a fairly small percentage of what we do in corporate learning. So we are not seeing any great trends which are positive in the US, but we are seeing on the products that we are pursuing aggressively, those are working, and we have been able to bring our margins under control, and we expect to be able to keep that going.
Okay.
So I think what you have seen is a massive expansion in margins. We have seen a massive expansion in margin year on year, 492 basis points.
Mm-hmm.
And that has more than made up for the shortfall that we would have had in revenue.
Okay.
So here the focus is on profitability, and I think what you heard Ashish say is that in terms of our overall EBITDA target, we feel comfortable we'll achieve it for the corporate learning solutions, though on the top line we may not.
So in terms of the EBITDA margin targets, are we looking at a 10% EBIT kind of an EBITDA margin next year, or how should we actually go about reading this margin picture?
Okay, so the important question is, when the market recovers, will our EBITDA margins remain at the level at which they are,
mm-hmm.
or will the increase in revenue erode part of the margin?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question I'm asking.
Yeah, no, I think we are very comfortable that as the revenues go up, we will see an increase in our EBITDA margins, and that will certainly happen as we go forward. It is subject to recovery of the market, and frankly, at this point in time, nobody is making a guess on when that will be.
Okay, fair enough. Wish you all the best, and I will come back for more if there are any more.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Pranal Kodi from AIM Capital. Over to you, sir.
Congratulations on your numbers. A couple of queries. Firstly, what kind of growth in net revenues you saw in the India side of the business for the quarter in the individual business?
It was flat. Year on year, it was flat. Quarter on quarter, it was what?
India side alone?
Yeah.
I was hungry for it.
I have a feeling we had a better growth this year than we had last year, quarter on quarter.
Okay. You know,
I'll just tell you, it was
overall for ILS, it was quarter on growth, quarter on
India. India. Yeah. We can take another question.
On the, you know, on your guidance of 10% growth, hello?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, on the, your guidance of 10% growth, maintain that you need to grow at 16% for remaining two quarters. Considering your base is very high for the international business in the second half of the, you know, year, what would lead to this growth? Because it's the fourth quarter where the India business, you know, has grown either in single digits or grown at flat rates.
Prabhu, you want to answer that question? In order to achieve the rest of the year numbers, you will have to grow at 15% plus.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And given the fact that your India growth is at single digit, how will the rest of the world make up for it? That's the question. Is that right?
Yeah, considering the second half of the year, you know, last year you had grown quite substantially in the international part of the business.
Yeah. So I think the answer to the question is yes. Our what we believe is that growth in international business is sustainable for the rest of the year.
Yes.
And second, I think on a comparative basis, for two reasons, second half will be better than first half for the first year in terms of percentage growth rate. One, last year first two quarters were the highest quarters, and these two in this year those are the recovery quarters. Second, last two quarters had begun to become bad, and in this year, these two quarters are the recovered quarters. So I think we tend to see a higher growth in percentage growth terms in India in the second half of the year.
Secondly, could you guide on your, you know, what kind of last time you, on the con call you mentioned about, you know, breaking levels in the new business initiatives. Could you throw light on what kind of losses to expect for this year in the new business, or you know, and when do, in which quarter do we see a break even in that business?
Okay, so in case of the finance, banking, and insurance side of the business, which is FMT side of the business, I think we should be able to see return to break even. They were making profits, then they went through a bad time. We should see return to break even in Q4, and in fact it will be more than return. They will make profit, and I tend to feel the same perhaps would be the case for BPO, who would perhaps break even in fourth quarter. Yeah, it will be nearly break even. I think the recovery in BPO business has been, I mean the recovery of the marketplace has been slower in BPO business to that extent.
On your depreciation side, you know, your depreciation has grown considering the quarter, and it's quite volatile between various quarters. Could you throw light on what led to, which segment led to growth in depreciation in this quarter? Was it corporate, individual, or, you know, any new business initiatives?
Okay. Well, assets of the organization are combined at this, but I can tell you at a broad level, it was new products and projects which contributed to this, which would be school learning solutions, and in corporate learning solutions, large number of e-learning products came up in this quarter. So those would be the two contributors.
Yeah, taking this query further.
And in individual learning solutions also, I'm sorry. Because quarter two is the time when new product launches happen.
So, you know, considering the fact that, you know, the institutional business also contributed to the depreciation growth, if I was to adjust for the, you know, the increase in depreciation, then maybe the incremental profit from new turnover would be hardly anything, or would my overall EBIT margin in the traditional business would have fallen for this quarter compared to last year?
No, they would have improved compared to last year. Because in fact, in this quarter, we have booked more expenses above the line than we have in depreciation. EBITDA is after booking those expenses, and therefore, if you see the impact in the bottom line, there will be an improvement in EBIT. And I'm giving you off the top.
Not to query on your cost structures. We had initiated a cost cutting exercise last year in the second half. When do you think your the employee cost and the other cost will start showing Y-on-Y increase again? Any wage hikes you've taken in this quarter or plan to take in the near future? And what would be your tax rate for this year?
Okay, tax rate for this year we would just give you separately. As far as increases in costs are concerned, I think the good news is we have been able to contain the cost structure in contrast to the cost alone. And therefore, as we grow forward, our cost increase will be strictly dependent on the corresponding revenue increase, at least in the near term. Now, we do see a headcount increase in the next two quarters, close to between 50 to 100 headcount increase, which we are expecting obviously because of higher business, and we will make sure that it is just in time. In terms of other cost structures which are fixed in nature, we won't expect those to go out of hand in any case. So if at all you will see an increase in variable costs. Even in this quarter, which is we have just crossed, in terms of fixed costs, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, trending basis, our fixed cost structure came down by 2%, whereas the rest obviously is dependent on the revenue. So just answering your question now on the tax rate, it is about 15%.
Lastly, on your private school business, what kind of growth did we see this year in this quarter?
On a year-on-year basis, right. I would say about 17-18% in revenue. So we added 82 schools, which were much larger than last year. But I think in revenue terms, it was 18. Is that 18%? It is that that number.
What would be the absolute amount?
I'm sorry?
What would be the absolute amount of revenue from private schools?
We would have about 120 million.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. Participants are requested to ask only one question in the initial round and can come back with a follow-up question. Next in line, we have Ms. Anubhuti Jain from ICICI Bank. Over to you, please.
Thank you. I want to understand, how was the performance of NIIT USA and Element K during the quarter?
Okay. I think our corporate learning solutions is a good indicator of our performance of Element K and NIIT USA. Element K has had a massive improvement in profitability year on year, though in terms of top line, their overall top line has dropped, but their product mix has improved in favor of high margin products. So learning products growth of 16% that we talked about is purely Element K's contribution. Overall terms, I think the story of corporate learning solutions reflects the story of Element K and NIIT USA.
Can you have some numbers like the top line of NIIT USA, Element K, and the PAT and EBITDA margins?
We don't have those normally at that level of detail in this call.
Okay, and so this was regarding the SLS as well. What are the CAPEX plans of NIIT for the future for SLS?
Okay, typically we have, if you go by our guidance on saying we would add between 3,000 to 3,500 schools during the year, that should lead to a CAPEX of about 65 to 80 crores, depending on the product context.
So we'll be adding another 3,500 schools during the year?
No. This year, as luck would have it, we have already added a large number of schools. The rest will depend on how the contracts bear out.
Okay, so for the next year, we plan around 80 crores of CAPEX.
Yeah, in schools.
And how do we plan to get it financed?
Internal accruals, debt, as well as working capital, which will come back after implementing these projects, as well as the new fundraising that we are doing. All these are contributors to this.
Okay, so have you tied up some debts already?
We have already tied up debt which we already have on our balance sheet. So if you see,
The NCDs.
I'm sorry?
The NCDs of some 1,000 million.
No, no, we have NCDs, we have bank term loans, as well as now we would be adding the other mechanism.
The QIP that you mentioned.
If you are interested in more detail, we could tell you the individual debt and individual debt instruments as well as the other instruments.
That would be great.
We could tell you that offline. If you would like,
okay.
I'll send it to you as a case.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. So the overall debt position is available, 4.17 billion.
Right, sir. Great. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Next in line, we have Mr. Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital Market. Over to you, sir.
Yes, see, National Skill Development Corporation has been launched formally.
Yeah.
If you can just tell us as to what Government of India is thinking on this skill development area is, and what is the kind of budget the Government of India has, and B, how can I be featured in this whole scenario?
I'll ask Mr. Pawar to answer this question. He's much closer to that reality.
Yeah, I think he's on the board also.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
So I think I want to start by disappointing you that the opportunity is humongous, but the plans still have time to fall into place. But let me elaborate. The corporation has been formed. Some money was put in by the government. They have to start building plans. They have to make PPPs. So the corporation effort, I don't think you'll see results like in the next quarter or two. It'll take a little longer. But there is another area where some government spends have already started because of the whole skills mission. And that is from the employability funding that is coming out from various ministries, Ministry of Labor, Ministry of Rural Development. These two ministries have specific programs for employability. And we have already started participating in them in some way. So, it's difficult at this time to indicate the numbers and volumes. All I can say is that there are very ambitious programs, very ambitious plans. They are not coming in just through one window. They are coming in through the funding that is going from government for inclusive growth and so on, and coming through the ministries. We have started participating in at least the inclusiveness programs already.
Okay. This Ministry of Labor, how much are they spending on this kind of program?
I would say they have started spending I would say maybe in tens of crores every quarter, not hundreds yet.
And how is it? Are they asked for bids for this kind of training, or how does the whole process work?
Sorry?
Do they ask for bids for this kind of work, or how does the whole process work?
There are different schemes, and the schemes work along the following couple of domains. One is that they are saying that they are signing up partners who are willing to train people who are at the fringe of employability.
Okay.
And therefore, if you train people for a 3-month period and you get the person placed, you get a reimbursement straight away.
Okay.
That is a program which is actually picking up the fastest, because that is also giving them the employability solution. So they are signing up companies one by one who come in for a specific program for X number of people over a certain period of time. And there is a fixed amount to be paid per person that is paid.
Is NIT involved in any of these?
Yes, we are involved. How many people have trained that?
Many. We are engaged in many such projects.
So when will that revenue show up, and in which segment will it show up?
It's right now showing up in the India Corporate Learning Series.
Okay. So how much was this corporate learning solution from India? How much was it for the last quarter?
About 10 crores.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Participants who wish to ask questions may kindly press *1 in India Bridge, and for International Bridge, kindly press 01 on the telephone keypad. Next in line, we have a question from Mr. Anup Upadhyay from SBI Mutual Fund. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Just to understand the trends in corporate learning, you mentioned the 16% growth in online learning products. So would is this kind of growth coming more from market share gains, or is this coming from overall market expansion?
It is coming more out of market share gains.
Okay, sir.
Because as you know, we are very small compared to the number one. We are number two. So this is more a market share gain strategy.
Okay.
And as you know, overall training market at this time is going negative. It has been negative. So this is more out of the gain.
And the market share gain is being driven means out of what particular factors? Means is this because we have priced our product attractively in a phase where companies are focused on reducing their costs, or is it means some other factor?
Okay, I'll answer that. The most important contributor to that is an investment in product development and coming up with a better product line. Second, making sure that we focus on that in our sales and marketing efforts. So those are the two important contributors.
Okay, sir. And is there any seasonality to the renewal of subscriptions for these online learning products?
Yes. Quarter three and quarter four of our fiscal is typically when you have maximum renewal in subscription.
Okay, sir. And what would be the major objective of the QIP that we have planned, in the proceeds of the QIP that we have planned?
Yeah. So, as I mentioned before, to explain that, first of all, as far as our existing businesses are concerned, they are self-sufficient and their expansion needs would primarily be met by internal generation. We have maintained that in the past and we maintain that now. Now, the important issue is that, one, the economy is recovering. Second, the government policies as well as the new initiatives, for example, the skills development initiatives that we talked about, we are beginning to see a large number of such schemes being developed, many of which will be rolled out in the near future. On our side, we have been working with some business models which we have been creating proof of concept. If you know, we have talked in the past about a rural learning center, which will be a skills development center. We talked of community learning centers, which are in slums. We have talked of some English and professionalized training activity which has been going on. We have discussed about retail online learning platform. We have talked about getting into newer areas of skills development. Now, in all these, we have proof of concepts ready to scale. We believe that one part of our investment would go in this direction. And I would say a large part of our investment will go in that direction. The second will be to obviously improve and strengthen our balance sheet so that we can continue to fund our growth. And third, we also want to consolidate and centralize some of our technology and content development facilities in a single facility. So this is a three-year plan, and over 3 years perhaps, we would be doing this consolidation exercise, which will increase operating efficiency as well as reduce rental and other operational expenses. So those are the broad purposes at which we are looking at QIP and the additional layers of it.
Mr. Anup, are you done with the question?
Yes.
Thank you very much. I again repeat, participants connected to International Bridge may kindly press 01 to ask a question. Participants connected to India Bridge may kindly press *1 to ask a question.
Sandhya, Nikhil, I'll just like to ask a question, please. One question on the number of schools, new schools added in the private and the government sector, and the revenue that we generated in this quarter for the same. And second actually was on do you see a potential yield improvement in the ILS space, given that possibly the worst in terms of induction is lower and enrollments are now starting to increase?
Okay, so let's the first part, Raghu, you will answer the second part.
Yes.
So we added 82 new schools in private In government, no new tenders came up, were finalized during the quarter, but I think some past four schools may have got added. But 82 schools in private were added. We did implement we finished implementation of 3,500 schools during the quarter, but that was something which we had already started in last quarter itself. So, okay. To that extent, in terms of additions in number of schools, you will see 86, a number like 86. Okay.
On the individual learning solutions front, basically, like I expressed before, the stability and consistency of revenues that we expect from markets like Africa, particularly Nigeria, Ghana, Botswana, South Africa, and in Asia Pacific from Vietnam, Malaysia, and China, of course, have been consistent, and we do, as we can foresee that, we can see a consistent degree of revenues coming in from there. Now, that turns our head to India. As far as India is concerned, if you look at the last quarter, we had growth in engineers, basically technology programs, aimed at certification and job, near-term job opportunities to focus engineers programs, a growth of 15%. Then the infrastructure management services, which is an area of focus for us, grew at 43%. And the career programs grew slowest at 2%. Now, that I consider as an opportunity. And when that turns around, that will have a momentum that will take the average enrollment growth to a higher level. And that is exactly what we are looking at when we look at the second half of this year.
Okay. Okay, cool. And this revenue part on private schools would be how much for the 82 schools added?
Total private schools in this quarter was 120 million.
Okay. Okay, cool. Thanks for that.
Thank you very much, sir. At this moment, there are no further questions from the participants. I would like to hand over the floor back to Mr. Nikhil Vora for final remarks.
Thanks, Sanjay. Thanks, everyone, for being on the call. And Mr. Len, do you have any closing remarks, and then you can close the call?
No, I just want to thank everybody for, first of all, being there for their very incisive questioning, which we always learn a lot from. And second, the fact that we will be available on phone. Kapil Saurabh is the contact person. His email address, his telephone number is mostly available with everybody. But if not, you could always write a mail at vijay@nit.com and one of us will respond. And the rest, we thank you for your participation and look forward to speaking to you, meeting you in the near future. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, all of you. And it's a pleasure to host this call. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Nikhil, for hosting this call.
Pleasure, sir.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for choosing WebEx's conferencing service. That concludes this conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you and have a nice evening.